Hello and welcome to Shield Up, your Patreon-exclusive podcast from RKG. My name is Gav Murphy, and today I'm joined by Daniel Gruber.
Hello.
Fresh off the train from Blackburn.
Thankfully, it was not a busy train, which was good.
And usually, I guess if it's coming from Blackburn, it's full of people who are like, just
be careful, careful.
Like, taking photos, like...
To be fair, I did get stopped at Manchester train station. I had my headphones on, and this guy came up to me, and he said he enjoyed our videos very much. And
that's amazing.
I think we've met him at an event before, but...
Oh, really?
I did recognise him, but he had much longer hair now. But yeah, he's really nice.
I saw a slug today getting tattooed by Clara. Not through the window.
Licking it.
I went in to drop off a post office receipt. Every day we do it, you know, we're these high powered celebs just doing everyday things like going to the post office. And also we're not high powered celebs. But I walked in and she's getting tattooed. She's getting a nice fallout tattoo. His name is Holly Morgan. And I recognized her for good reasons.
So what kind of fallout tattoo?
I don't know. It's the Nuka Girl, it's like almost like a almost sort of 1920s like pinup style thing. She's having that with some filigree.
Very nice.
And she was really nice and has some lovely things to say. She showed me a picture of her dog. That was good. We had some really nice messages actually from that I've been lovely making my way through. But one of them, which I've just showed you now before we started, and I'll put the link to it in the Shield Up thing because it is brilliant. Someone wrote in and says, I was making my way through my Shield Up backlog when you guys started talking about when you did the IGN versus RKG competition, which reminded me how great it was. And so, of course, I decided to go give it another watch. If you don't know, back in 2019, we did a project with IGN and BT where we played a three-game tournament and seen to work out who was the best at video games out of IGN or RKG.
Which was decided conclusively.
I think we won that particular competition, didn't we? Whitewashing Overwatch at the end, I think it was.
Oh, there we go. I've heard since then, actually, IGN's traffic has fallen off hard.
Yeah.
Because he's discredited. Like, I think what I read, actually, is like Simon Cardi disgraced IGN.
Yeah, yeah.
All his credibility.
I saw a headline on Polygon that was just Simon Cardi has his pants pulled down by RKG.
Polygon on the headline. You think our gameplay capture was bad of Cuphead? Check out this dweeb.
But this person says anyway. So yeah, man, you can go watch it. It's all on the IGN channel. It's a really fun little series. And he says, however, searching RKG versus IGN versus RKG on YouTube gave me this pretty strange result, which I thought might give you guys a laugh. It's basically a guy reacting to one of the IGN versus RKG videos without actually watching the video or knowing who you guys are. There's nothing nasty or horrible in the video. It's just honestly one of the weirdest pieces of content I have ever seen. And it's
troubling, I'd say.
It's the second part of the series as well. Yeah. So it's when Rory played Cardi at Street Fighter V. And...
It's less reacting, more him comprehending. He scrubs through the timeline. I say scrub. He clicks at it intermittently.
But it's not playing. So it's like...
Static images. And it's him trying to just piece together what's going on. So it's not reacting as much as live understanding.
It is very odd, isn't it? But what makes it even odder is, one, it's him with a camera filming a screen.
His laptop, yeah.
And then... Also, in the background, someone is just watching a TV show.
Yeah.
Or another website or something.
There's a lot of, you know, there's that image that replicates what it's like to have a stroke.
Yeah.
It's almost like that. But there's a lot of weird elements that you don't often see in a video because the TV, because he's American, the ladies' voices on the TV are British.
Yeah.
There's a lot pulling you in different directions.
And it's really interesting as well because at one point he says that because he doesn't know who we are, but he says he's heard of IGN and GameSpot, even though they aren't in the video, but he's never heard of RKG. And he says, oh, I think IGN is like WWE and RKG is like AEW, which is like another wrestling faction. I was like, yeah, I'll take that. It's pretty fun.
If you go on his channel, he does it all the time.
Yeah.
With all kinds of things. He does a variety of different live understandings.
Yeah, live understandings is a new thing. Yeah. but yeah, I'll put a link to that in this so you can go have a look at it because... it's just very funny. We had a load of people write in after our Tom Cruise episode where we basically talk about Top Gun for an hour. It says about the call signs thing. So you remember the episode after that, I said someone wrote in and said, oh, I'm really sorry to say, guys, but in the Air Force or whatever. It was Navy. In the Air Force, Navy, yeah. They don't have call signs. Well... We have three different messages about this. In response to Gav on the Top Gun episode, call signs are most definitely a thing for US naval aviators, but they tend not to be as cool as they are on top. Coco! In your bed. But they tend not to be as cool as they are on Top Gun. They're usually jokes making fun of the pilots from other members of the squadron. You sure aren't getting something as badass as Maverick, more likely to be Bambi, because you hit a deer. Or Tinder, for going on Tinder lots.
Oh, right, got that one, yeah.
Heard
yeah.
of one guy who was called Slayer, which sounded cool, but was actually because he took out a simulated civilian group during a training exercise and failed.
Right,
keep an eye on him, one.
That's a bit of a... I'd be happy with Tinder.
Yeah, I'll Tinder, actually. And someone else
Tinder, because he burnt a family. Yeah. It's like,
okay. Hey, boys. This is not Jet Guy here, and I just want to correct something from June 24th Shield Up episode. I just want to say, as a US naval aviator, I can guarantee that they have call signs in the Navy, but they tend to be less cool than Top Gun suggests. Many of them are acronyms, and Bob is likely the most realistic of the ones has ever had to offer. Some of my personal favorites of my instructors are Trash Panda, because he dumpster dives save money, and Scoob, acronym for shit, comes out of both ends since he threw up and shat himself on a flight. I personally do not have mine yet, but will likely be given one in the next few months to a year or so. Let us know what you get, please. And then another one.
I've never heard of Scoob as an acronym before. Scoob, have you heard of that before?
Have you heard of Scoob for going for a shit? Yeah.
But shit comes out of both ends. I mean, it checks out.
But I don't know why. I can't remember why.
Acronym.
It says, hi, lads. Yeah, I think I've heard of Scoob because I think it's Cockney rhyming slang, Scooby-Doo, for going for a poo.
Oh, so it's not the acronym. It just happens to be an acronym, Scoob, as well.
Yeah, there you go. Huh. Yeah.
Maybe that's, you know what that could be?
Shit comes out of both ends.
It's an acronym. You know what that could be an example of then? Mm. You know, it's called, in the biological kingdom, it's called convergent evolution. Mm. So bats and birds both have wings. Both the Cockneys and the American naval have come to the same thing, but that's different ways.
But different ways, yeah. That's really interesting. It says, hi, lads. No question, just a comment on the call sign chat. There are call signs in the Royal Air Force. Ewan McGregor's brother is a pilot. Can you guess what his call sign is? Yes, it's Obi-2. Love the stuff you make. I have another rear slug who doesn't actually get on with FromSoft games, so forgive me for my sins. So I don't watch those series of retry. Love Spookies, love Shield Up, and just love the creativity. Peace and love.
We got someone in here that just likes Jonathan Creek, mate, so I wouldn't worry about it.
I thought he was going to say he doesn't like playing the FromSoft games.
Didn't even watch him.
He didn't even watch him.
To be fair, that's actually quite reassuring. I quite like that.
They are longest ones, though. So it's like, you know when people are like going,
I did see someone in the comments the other day going, because everyone's loving Demon Souls, and he just goes, well, just going to do a second video a week, because when you don't really like it, it's quite long, this.
Cheers. So yeah, there are call signs, but they're fewer and far, because it also, there's one guy says he hasn't even got his yet, but it feels like call sign be like something you need on day one. So maybe it's call signs that are just like you just be Krupa until you do something
up,
silly, yeah.
Like killing a village, apparently.
Until you kill a village, yeah. This is a nice one. So I said, hey, boys, just want to reach out and thank you for all you do. I'm a primordial slug, and one way or another, some type of your content has always been there for me when I've needed it over the years and continues to help me throughout my life today. I was able to binge Demon's Souls retry as well as start the new Resident Evil show on Netflix while I'm on my recent bout of COVID. No worries, vaccinated and in pretty good health. Sorry for the long post. Want to know if you've seen the new Resi show yet and if you have some thoughts on it. Love you, boys. Keep up your amazing work. So I meant, is it live action?
Yeah.
And it's got...
It's got the guy, the chap.
Lance Reddick from...
Fringe.
The Wire.
And John Wick.
And Lost. And he's in it, yeah. Wow. Is it good? Is it meant to be good?
I think it's meant to be okay.
Right.
He's playing Wesker.
Is he? Yeah, he plays Albert Wesker. Yeah, I'm not going to watch that. But it sounds like...
There's liquors in it.
Is there?
Yeah.
First, I Google it. Resident Evil Season 2 on Netflix feels increasingly unlikely to happen.
I really don't like the font. They've created a new font for the TV show. Just like, if you're trying to just use the...
Use the Resi one.
Yeah, use the game one.
Yeah. It's apparently right now, and this doesn't mean anything, but on IMDb, it's one of Netflix's worst rated shows.
They've made a load of shite, though.
That's true, man.
So they've lost 1 million subscribers in the last quarter.
Have they?
Yeah.
I feel like, just from looking at the cast, it's pretty heavily focused on Wesker.
Oh, it's Wesker's story.
And Wesker's family.
Wesker's side story.
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't even really work, but
I love it.
Yeah,
Yeah. What? There's, yeah, all, it's basically all of Wesker's family. So if you ever wanted to have a deep dive on Wesker's family.
They're not like WandaVision, but for Wesker.
Yeah, it sounds like. There we go.
I haven't watched it. I don't, that's the thing. That's the sort of thing, if it was like getting really, if it was good, I'd be like, I would have watched that weekend one, because it was like, it's great. I just like, with something like that, I just go, I don't have time to like watch something that's average.
Yeah,
definitely. Unless I want some junk foody, I guess.
It'd have to, yeah, I feel like there's better junk food out there.
But the thing is, if I watch that, that is second screen all day long.
The thing is about it is, there's so much stuff at the minute that I just think, whenever I'm watching something that I'm really not enjoying, I have so little patience for it. And that's probably a bad thing. Like, I should probably give stuff a little bit more of a try.
It is true that because that's the thing. It unfairly prioritizes things that have better openings. Mm. And you'll never, by that selective criteria, you'll never watch your favorite show that has the best ending.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
it has
yeah.
a weak beginning.
Yeah.
On streaming.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think you said once on this podcast, like, you kept watching that Sinner. And the thing about the Sinner has a banging opening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, obviously, trails off a bit. So
yeah, yeah, yeah. But this, I found it a bit last night where I was like, I really wanted to watch a film, but Clara really wanted, she was drawing. She was like, oh, can you play that Stray game? Because everyone's gone on about it. And like, can you play that? And I was like, oh, I'm not really in the mood to play a video game. But she was like, oh, I just want to see what it is. I just want to see what it is. I was like, oh, well, I'll play it for a little bit then. And I put it on. And one, I wasn't in the mood. But two, I was just like, I'm not having a good time playing this. So I think it's a really lovely thing when everyone, like, when you follow a lot of games people, when everyone is playing the same thing on Twitter, sometimes it could be quite nice. And with that, even though it's not my cup of tea, I am enjoying watching everyone go like, oh, look at this cat and stuff like that. But yeah, it wasn't for me. But I mean, after like 30 minutes I'd give it an hour, I reckon. And then I was like, can I watch this film now? I'm fed up of being forced under duress to play the cat game. Thank you. I'm sure it is very good, but I wasn't in the mood.
What did you put on? Puss in Boots.
She was like, what do you want to watch? I was like, Simpsons. She was like, no, we're not watching The Simpsons. We started watching Boiling Point, and then she was like, this is too stressful. You got to switch it off and put something else on.
It's really nice and chill.
But it's strange though, because what she thinks is stressful and what I think is stressful are two different things, even though Boiling Point is very stressful. Like, because she was like, oh, let's watch that Shining Girls we've been watching on Apple TV, which is Elizabeth Moss. And it's kind of like half murder mystery, half sort of sci-fi. It's so stressful. But Clara's like, I don't know, something about murders just doesn't stress Clara out in the same way as it stresses me out.
Which is worrying.
Have you heard, this is why I meant to text you this, but I'll ask you on here. Have you heard about this Andrew Garfield TV show? So it's Andrew Garfield and Wyatt Russell in a mini-series done by Dustin Lance Black, who did like Milk and a bunch of other stuff. And it's his TV show, and it's like a murder mystery, and Andrew Garfield is the detective.
Well, that sounds good.
Doesn't it? It's called... because I saw today there was like thing about Wyatt Russell and Kurt Russell going to be in a TV show
together,
the Godzilla TV show. And they said Wyatt Russell, who is currently starring with Andrew Garfield in this TV show. I was like, Andrew Garfield's doing it. I was like, I could be watching multiple hours of Andrew Garfield.
What's this on?
It's called Under the Banner of Heaven. It's on FX.
Wasn't he in Under the Silver Lake?
Yeah, he was.
Why is he always under stuff?
Which I still haven't watched, actually. Yeah.
What was it called? Under the Banner? That's a hard title. That.
Under the Banner of Heaven, it's called. And it's finished.
What was it on?
In the US, it was on FX. And usually FX stuff comes to Disney Plus, right?
That's Hulu.
Hulu. Okay.
But I think they have had some FX stuff. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, they would, because FX is Fox.
Yeah, it's Fox, right?
Yeah.
It's got a hell of a cast on it. It's got Andrew Garfield, Daisy Edgar Jones, Sam Worthington, and Wyatt Russell. I'm watching this tonight, mate. That sounds class.
Too stressful.
A devout detective's faith is tested as he investigates a brutal murder seemingly connected to an esteemed Utah family's spiral into the Church of Latter-day Saints' fundamentalism and their distrust in the government.
Oh, I didn't know what to watch. I just stuck on the most recent thing on Netflix, which is about
the fundamentalists.
I watched two episodes of that.
Good.
I was like second screen. I mean, you've seen those kind of things before.
Andrew Garfield's in a nice suit in this. He's in the picture I'm looking at. So
has he lost his faith?
Mm-hmm. I mean, All the detectives in those things lose their faith, don't they? A little bit. I'm watching that Blackbird on Apple TV Plus at the minute because it's got Taron Egerton in it. And that's a hell of a show, that is. It's very, 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 very slow. But it got Greg Kinnear. When was the last time you saw Greg Kinnear in something?
Yeah.
Mad, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it felt like Greg Kinnear was always around when we were
seen that film about window wipers?
Yeah. Is it called like... Oh, Flash of Genius.
Yeah, so
it's about the man who invented the intermittent windshield wiper.
Yeah.
Big passion project for Greg, that was.
It's how you win your Oscar. You got to play a historical figure. The man who invented intermittent wind wipers.
I think it is called Flash of Genius, which if it is, I'm impressed that was in my mind. Yeah, it was Flash of Genius, 2008. I feel like he definitely executive produced that. Because that's something that's not getting made unless everyone is really pushing for it. Based on the true story of a college professor and part-time inventor, Robert Kane's long battle with the US automobile industry, Flash of Genius tells the tale of one man whose fight to receive recognition for his ingenuity would come at a heavy price.
That's wild, isn't it?
That's 2008, though. I'm sure he's done other stuff since then. But yeah, no. Long story short, we've not watched the Resident Evil TV show, but we might. I don't know. This is Resi related. So I was like, boys, I just want to say, even though your Resi 3 playthrough was done in the middle of lockdown, I genuinely love it. It's such a funny series. One of my favorites to keep coming back to. Take it easy, chaps. That was good, though.
Was good. It filmed that really quickly, actually.
Yeah, we did.
We had that gig.
Because we were shitting ourselves that we were not going to be able to, or they were going to announce another lockdown in the middle of it. So.
Yeah, always scared of lockdowns.
And we did get stuck quite a few times as well. Like, do you remember
that boss playing on really hard?
Yeah. Like, that was wild.
Because we're like, I need to talk about this. We have talked about, like, with future Resis.
Not downgrading.
We're just, like, maybe rehousing that as spookies rather than retry. Because, like, we've got a big retry series now.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty obvious what the future big retry series is going to be. It's like, well, we might want Resi as well at the same time or overlapping for this.
Yeah.
It's like, it is about, I think it's more from about us getting scared. We don't need... Sometimes with those games, I don't think necessarily the most fun to redo.
Well, yeah. Also, as well, like that's a conversation that we have at the end of them where we're just like, oh, that did feel like retry. It's like, well, it should all feel like retry, really. Like,
if it's called that, yeah. But that, I don't know. Because like, we've also played those games where they haven't been hard, but they've still been good.
Mm.
And it's, you know, I don't know.
But yeah, I'm glad you're watching that because that is really good. I think that was definitely a Resi that people weren't that, were quite lukewarm on, but
it's just slight,
we had a really good time. Yeah. We had a really good time playing it, so that was good.
You know about the thing in there that's really prescient? Rory makes a comment about Will Smith punching someone.
I do know that. Yeah, I saw that.
The thing is, because we talked, I think I can't remember off the top of my head. There is a couple of other things I've got a note on my phone where,
like the Simpsons predicting stuff.
Yeah, because it will in a few years' time we'll be able to do that like video of like five times RKG predicted the future.
Future, yeah. That's a good idea that is. Yeah. And people really go in on that as well. Okay. I said that as if I had a big plan then. It's not just reading out the next one. Silent Primordial Slug here. I've been stalking all of you for a very long time, hopefully in a nice way, in your various outlets. Thank you. You guys always make my day, and even though I only manage to watch Retry when it comes out, I pay to be a patron because you guys put out amazing work. From the episodes I've watched of Demon's Souls, it's been hilarious and stressful, like Rory forgetting everything from all of the From games, which makes it even more hilarious. My question is, I'm planning to head to a small festival, Arctangent. I hope that's music, not murdering, because right now it could be anything. On my own this year due to various different reasons, but mainly due to mental health and the need to get away. But I would like to chat to some randoms, have a good time, but my social anxiety is a big block. Any advice from you friendly and carefree gentlemen? Cheers, you beautiful people. I mean, the fact you're going by yourself anyway, I mean, shows that that's pretty big, man.
Where is it again, sorry? What does it say?
It's called Arctangent. It is... I really don't know. Like, there's when you search for it, it should be the first one that comes up.
It's not pretty specific. Not maybe there's a weird autocorrect on it.
There's a bunch of other ones there, but it's for some reason it's showing me an old one. So
he's traveling into the past.
He's traveled into the past. Arctangent.
Well, firstly, you have to make sure you're wearing appropriate clothing.
Yes.
And adjust your slang.
Fernhill Farm.
Think more Bristol. Snapchat than TikTok.
Near Bristol.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
So you're going to basically going to a festival on your own.
Yeah.
How you mix in.
Yeah.
Tricky, isn't it? But I guess like if you're going to see certain acts, at least you know you've got something in common.
Yeah.
Bring up, you know.
Opeth.
I'm that's your opening.
I'm looking at what bands that are playing that I've seen. Opeth, I've seen them. So it's very metal. McCluskey playing it. It's one of my favorite bands. Make sure you go see them because they are so amazing.
So if you're okay, let's work on this. Right, you're there with your mates watching McCluskey.
Yeah.
What does another person do that you go, actually, they're all right? How would you strike up a conversation with someone at a McCluskey gig if you wanted to like just be friendly and stuff? Like, what's a good opener? Because that's the thing, you probably don't want to overthink it.
No.
Also, you don't want to try too hard because that would like, for instance, if I was at a gig and somebody just tried to like insert themselves, I would naturally like be like, oh, that's not for me.
Yeah. I've definitely made friends with people I've made friends with lots of people who are by themselves at festivals. A lot of the time you make friends with people, if you're camping, you might make friends with them if you go over. Like, and if you do drink or like smoke weed or something, that's usually quite a good opener for those people. If you don't worry about that. I'm sure you can just go over and say hello anyway with a box of Pringles.
Yeah.
If someone came over to me and was like, do you want a Pringle? I'd be like, all right.
A whole pipe of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheers. Right. Thank you.
But I think like most people at festivals, particularly metal festivals as well,
welcoming.
Like, quite welcoming. They're quite welcoming of people. And like, if you went over and went, can you all be my friend? That's probably not going to go down the right way.
A bit intense,
if you go over and just start
not intense, not intense. Yeah, that's the camping.
Like we've definitely made friends with people who've been near us and stuff like that. And then gone, well, like in fact, like at Reading 1 year, we made friends with some people next to us who we stayed in touch with. And then we all made sure we camped next to each other the year after as well, which was kind of cool. But I wasn't by myself then. It's different as well now, whereas, because I felt like in old festival times before phones were good phones and signal was decent signal, I felt like I spent quite a lot of time by myself at festivals because you just lose people.
Mm.
And I remembered like one festival where I just lost everyone at like 11:15 in the morning and I didn't find people till like 11:30 at night.
Mm.
And I just like going back to the tent, I felt like it was just one of those things where we just kept missing each other. Yeah. And then like going back to the big rocket that we were meant to be meeting at and like intermittently, but like people were like, oh yeah, we went there like at this time. And I was like, oh, I was watching so-and-so this time. So we just kept missing each other. So those days, a couple of us spent by ourselves and it was fine because you're just going to watch music and stuff like that. But it's just like in the in-betweeny bits, you're like, oh, I wanted to chat and stuff. There should be a thing at festivals though, shouldn't there, for like meeting up.
If you're single, if you're a solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you obviously want to go to this festival and see these bands play. So I think go into it like, you're going to have a good time on your own.
Yeah.
And not put too much pressure on like having to meet people.
Yeah.
And then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Don't put too much pressure on yourself as well, because like even the most, I'm quite confident, but I would struggle going, like if I met someone and we got chatting, that would be like one amazing thing, but also quite a rare thing as well.
Yeah, because also you're going to be going into probably like groups of people, which is tricky. I think really that's the thing. Go and enjoy the gig, the festival, enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
And then what happens, happens.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think like next door to your tent would be quite good. But also like if you see people who are hanging around by themselves as well, like or one or two people, and they look friendly and they look like, you know, they're into the same thing as you.
Yeah, just make a little comment.
Go and say hello.
See if like, a little bit of rapport.
Yeah, don't, I like hang out by the, like some places have like nice little hangout bits as well. Yeah. Like I think as well, like don't act it like you're going to latch onto their group either.
Like, because I think people would be like,
even
if you're the nicest person in the world, and like people would still be like, well, I've come with my friends.
Yeah.
You've got to like judge it just right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I would find that weird if someone came over to us and I was just like, oh, can I come with you?
I'm with you now.
Like, yeah, you kind of got to wait for them to offer, I think, as well. Because we've definitely done that. But there was a girl, we went to a festival in Anislas, just out of Aberystwyth, and there was a girl by herself, and she was camped next to us. And in the morning, I was chatting to her, and then I was like, oh, who are you seeing today? And she was like, oh, I'm going to go see these guys. I was like, oh, we're actually popping off there in a bit if you want to come, or if you want to come with us. And she was like, yeah, okay. And like, she ended up coming with us, and then she went away. And then I think on the Sunday, before we were leaving, we all went for a Sunday roast together and stuff. So like stuff like that just happens kind of organically as well without you having to try stuff. But it's just like, how do I make it happen organically?
Yeah, I know. how do I be natural?
What's the best what's the best trips for, what's the best tips of making this happen organically? So weird, isn't it? But also,
right, left foot forward and turn. And
but I honestly, I wouldn't underestimate how like much of an amazing thing you're doing already. Like, all by yourself.
You can have a great time. Right. Be nice and friendly. And then if you meet the right sort of people that you want to hang out with, it will happen.
Yes. But don't put too much...
Also, you don't want to end up hanging out with people that aren't nice either.
No. And don't put too much pressure on yourself as well. And don't beat yourself up if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's like, you're still going to be there enjoying the gig.
Yeah,
being involved in it. Because also, you just go listen to the music and get like involved.
Yeah. What's really funny is...
get barrier.
McCluskey's... name is spelt wrong on this website.
Is it? But is it not a tribute band?
I'm going to send that to... Because I am actually like... I'm in DMs with Andy Farkas, the lead singer, and it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I don't know how it happened. But if I DM him, he will DM me back.
Yeah.
It's mad.
You should message him that you're not checking this anymore.
Well, is it? I don't overdo it with my DMs.
No, I mean, copy the copy.
Oh right,
you're not checking this anymore.
I was just gonna say I don't overdo it, but I'm like, oh, that's a good excuse.
You're not proofreading.
It's a good excuse for him to have me on his mind. And that's what I want.
Basically, you're trying to do with him what this guy's asking for this festival.
Yeah,
it's like you're trying to be really organic with it.
I want him to be my best friend. Yeah.
Yeah. You go by. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, what's this? Oh, spelled your name wrong. Anyway.
What are you having for tea?
Anyway, should we be best friends?
Tea? I'm not a sausage beans.
Oh, I felt really bad because I liked a tweet that he did and he DM'd me going, it was basically they're doing like a homecoming gig at Club Yorubach, this club in Cardiff. And I liked a tweet that he did. Oh, this is so sad. I liked a tweet that he did and he DM'd me going, oh, the gig was on a Thursday. And he said, oh, just so you know, if we sell enough tickets, the Friday is going to go on sale. So if you're planning on getting the Thursday, I know you live in London. Fair play to him. I know you live in London. The Friday might be better for you guys or whatever he said. But I was like, that's a really nice thing to think.
Customer service. Yeah.
Like, and so I was texting Joe. I was like, oh, we should go to this. But I know that the Friday is going to come on sale. And he was like, okay, cool. Then like, we just forgot about it. Like a month later, Joe was like, did that gig ever go on sale? Like, checked the website, wasn't there. And like, without even thinking, I just DM'd him going like, oh, hey man, like, did the Friday sell out and go on sale? He's like, no, the Thursday didn't sell out. So we haven't put the Friday on sale. I was like, wish I'd never said anything.
See you on Thursday.
Wish I'd never said anything.
See you next Thursday.
But I think I did manage to turn the door. I was like, is me not buying a Thursday now stopping the Friday from happening?
Well, you told me not to buy him, mate. It's not my fault.
And he did laugh about it, to be fair. So, but, you know, I don't think if you want to become best friends with someone, pointing out that they're not as popular.
The shortcomings.
Pointing out the band aren't as popular as they used to be.
Unless he's now at a point in his career where he's seeking out people who ground him.
Mm.
And you know what? You really did bring him back down to earth.
Oh, yeah.
Like nailed into the floor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is not, he's tethered.
I think before the last time we went to see them, we were like, oh, because like our dream is to go for a pint with him and just chat to him. Like when I was growing up, like the stuff that he wrote, I was like, this is how people used to think of Morrissey and stuff. Like this is, but I think about him like that when I was in sixth form. I was like, my dream is just go for a pint with him. And hopefully he's nice and hopefully we get on, right? And we were talking about this anyway before the gig. And Joe was like, oh, yeah, I'd like to go. Like, we'd obviously all, like, Joe was like, oh, I've actually messaged him a couple of times being like, oh, I'm going to the gig. And I was like, oh, should I message him now? See what he's doing after. And I was like, no, I can't. Joe was like, go on, do it. I was like, I messaged him. Nothing. Till the next day.
Was it 1 a.m. when you went, you up?
It's not far off, is it? It's just like it's not just, a million miles
like
away.
2 a.m. Pine? ?
Oh god, so tragic, isn't it? Anyway, don't do any of that at this festival, all right? But there we go. Here's a really interesting one. He's written it into Mingin' or Fair Play, but I think it kind of skirts Mingin' or Fair Play a little bit, right? So he says, Hey lads, first off, your streams, shows, and general bants mean so much to so many. But for me, it was being made redundant right at the start of COVID. And without hyperbole, the pub quizzes and movie watch-alongs were the only things my wife and I would look forward to. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Now for the situation. I have a large group of friends that we've mostly known each other from high school. We go on lads' holidays slash stags and such once a year at least. We haven't been since 2019 for obvious reasons, but when traveling, we all went for dinner at the airport McDonald's, quick, cheap, easy. When we landed the other side, a friend, who didn't get the airport meal saying he wasn't hungry, said we should go to a bar that serves food because he was hungry. Fine. We broke up into tables of six and I was with a hungry lad. He orders a pint, two shots, and a 20-ounce steak. The rest of us had a pint or two. When we're about to leave, I hear,
I know where this is going.
Yeah. When we're about to leave, I hear, let's split the bill per table. To which point I calmly said, well, not this table though, guys, because let's pay for our own. A huge fuss ensues. As I say, I'm not paying 20 euros for a Guinness. Guys, come on. The other four guys said, well, we aren't cheap like you, so we'll split it. Enjoy your beer. Dawn breaks and it's time for breakfast. Mr. Hungry Lad, nowhere to be seen. Me and a couple good friends head down to the hotel restaurant. As we're waiting for the rest of the guys to show up, Mr. Hungry summons a waitress and asks for a beer and a large fry-up. Then he also asks, what's fast to get served in here? The waitress tells him scrambled eggs and toast. So he also says, can I have one of those as well while I'm waiting for my fry-up? He's hungry. He's a hungry boy.
He's a very hungry lad, but not for McDonald's.
Now you know what's coming. Bill arrives and he takes in and says, that'll be 20 euros each, please, lads. I stand up and say, mine came in at 8.50. Here's 10, keep the change. This is where it goes sad, though. This year, a holiday has been planned and I haven't been invited.
That's bang out.
Due to, in quotation marks, being a dick about splitting bills. Oh. Now, when it's my round of the bar, I never mind. But the idea of someone running up 50% of the total, then expecting people to split is ridiculous to me. So is it okay to refuse to split a bill you feel is unfair?
So,
That's so unfair.
This is a really interesting thing because I think, under normal circumstances,
yeah,
if I went to a meal and some people had cocktails and some people didn't, I'm very much like, whatever.
As absolutely.
But if you're going away and someone is doing it so blatantly and consistently, that's not cool.
No. But I also feel like as well,
that's really not cool.
There's a threshold as well for like, so say you were all sitting down in that first place and he orders like two chips and like people are eating the chips.
Yeah.
Stick it on the bill. Absolutely fine.
Yeah, yeah.
He's ordering, not only just ordering a meal, but he's also ordering like a 20-ounce steak meal. So
an expensive item.
Yeah. So you're saying that's probably coming in like 20, 25 euros, I reckon, that meal, right? Adding that onto something when you've just had a pint, I wouldn't be able to
do that.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
No, I think that's the thing. With all things like this, all normal people tend to have an internal barometer. It's called guilt.
Yes.
And it tells you when you know you're taking the piss. Because if I did that, I was like, I'm just going to get this. Like,
No.
I chose not to have the McDonald's with everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then to order a 20-ounce steak.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've just been away with some friends now. And what we did was we just set up the Monzo Shared Tab thing. Mm. So that meant like, because we went cycling. So we all had breakfast together, lunch together, dinner together, booze together. Like it was very rarely if one or two people were off by themselves. And if they did, we just did that outside of the shared tab. But there was one night, because we were playing basically drinking games for the cycling in the day. And it was like a bunch of rules. Like if you got off and pushed, you had to neck a pint or do a shot. Like if you got beeped at, it was half a pint and all this different stuff. So you add out your total throughout the day. And in the night, then you drink whatever you're owed. I ended up on one of the nights, I owed two shots or two full pints or shots. There's no way I was drinking, necking two pints. So I was like, I'll have two shots. But where we were staying in Port Magee, they had their own whiskey distillery. And I was like, well, we've got to order the Port Magee whiskey, haven't we? So I had two shots and my friend Chris had two shots coming to him as well. So we went up and a shot of Port Magee, it was like a single pot special, blah, 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 was 17 euro. And like normal shots that we've been doing, we've been drinking Powers whiskey all weekend. Normal shot of Powers, I think, was like 7 euro. So I said, I want to drink that Port Magee whiskey because we're here and it feels like we should. And there was a big thing behind the bar. But I was like, I'll pay for those. Like, I'll just not put those in the share tab or whatever. And then when it came up then, I was like, oh yeah, this is what it was. And it was sorted out quite easily anyway. And I think everyone was like, just fucking stick it in, who cares? But that's because I would have felt guilty doing it, even though it was something that I wanted, you know what I mean? The same with like, if I ordered a steak, I'd have been like, I'll fucking cover that myself.
Some people don't experience skill. Some people are sociopaths or psychopaths. I'm not saying your friend is, but it does sound like one.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
That is just bang out of order.
But just anyone like has that sense of awareness, but some people don't have a sense of self-awareness. Yeah. Like the same thing where I don't mind if someone has a cult or someone doesn't, but like on the inverse of that, if I go out with a friend who is teetotal, I'm very conscious. Sometimes they go, no, I'll pay the same.
And then
you go, you're not. Because that's actually really unfair because that's a big old difference.
Yeah. That's really sad that he's not been invited on the holiday then as well.
Also, does that imply the rest of the people on this trip are cool with it? I find that kind of surprising. Because it sounds like this dude is almost like lording it.
Yeah. So he says, the other four guys said, well, we aren't cheap like you, so we'll split and enjoy your beer. I don't think that's being cheap though.
I think if it was like a one-off thing, it's a bit like, oh, you know, you're getting your little wallet out and butterflies are coming out.
Doesn't sound that.
But not across like a big holiday.
No.
Because that's like a big difference then.
Yeah.
Because you've then got a budget for your hungry mate.
I feel like he's been unfairly done there.
Absolutely. No, like, nothing crystallizes that more. Is he ordered a breakfast while he was waiting for his breakfast?
Yeah.
You fucking kidding me?
So you ordered two breakfasts. Because there was a couple of times on this trip, actually.
You're joking me.
Like on the one night, I ordered a steak and everybody else had like general like lasagna or something. It was like that. So it was like mine. I think mine was about 10 euros more. But over the course of that week, it all worked itself out. Do you know what I mean?
That's fine. Yeah. It's not like you got a lasagna while you were waiting for your steak.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say is like the Monzo shared tab thing is fantastic, but it doesn't sound like some of these people will be really up for that, to be honest.
Well, it'd be an automated way for him to pay more.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's a cool thing in the Monzo share tab as well. So when you go for a tab, you can add it to the share tab and it instantly puts it like automatically splits it between however many people there are. But then you can also just like bang it down as well and go, oh, I'm going to pay more. Like
redistribute.
Make it those shots
penny accurate rather than divided. Yeah.
Which is really good. Like it's a really, really, really good way of doing like holidays when you're all not twats. But then if someone is being a prick, then that's not going to be great. So it's kind of hard, really. Yeah, I think it's okay to refuse, but again, like it's really hard as well because you never want to be the person going like, oh, I'm not doing that. Like, because you don't want to be tarred with that brush. Do you know what I mean? But I feel like this is unfair.
I feel like your mates have almost misunderstood what being tight is.
Yeah.
Because that's beyond being tight. That's just being unfair.
And also, like, you sounds like he's really taken advantage as well.
It sounds a bit of a prick, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to go on holiday with him.
Yeah, that's true.
If I went on holiday with someone like that, I was like, I'm not enjoying this holiday.
No, I don't want to go on holiday anymore. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah. Mm. But just so you know, though, if you were coming on holiday with me, that behavior would be of you, not your mate, would be absolutely fine. So. All right, an actual Mingan for a player, because that isn't Mingan, by the way, at all. So don't worry about it.
Your hungry mate does sell Mingan.
Yeah. Hello, boys. I've got a Mingan Fair Play for you. My girlfriend shakes up her soda before every sip she takes, like if it was chocolate milk or a protein shake. But I've asked her why she does this at all, and she says it's to get. Why she does this, as all it does is to get rid of the fizziness faster. She will just respond with, "I just want to," or "Don't worry about it." I have learned to accept that this, and when she has her own soda bottle, but she will often do it when we share a bottle too. So shaking up a soda bottle for every sip you take, minging or fair play?
I think it's fair play. I don't think it's minging.
No, it's not minging.
It's just it's more. Yeah, it's beyond the two categories. Yeah. It's just a little thing, isn't it?
Because my buddy, Malcolm, does prefer flat pop to anything else. So he would
likes it to be pop in origin.
That's the pop in origin rather than squash. Yeah. So he would get like Fanta and he would like, because you used to be able to get flat Fanta at McDonald's, you can't do it anymore. But what he would do is like, he would shake up the bottle and then let out the air like ever so, like until it was flat.
Decarbonating.
Yeah, basically.
Or like a low level fizz. maybe likes.
No, he wants it
completely still.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it between gulps though. He would like maybe check.
Yeah, because she's almost going for like, I want it like 50% fizz.
Yeah. I mean, it's odd, and I'd love to know why she does it. But also, it is your girlfriend. You can just say like, in a non-judgmental, aggressive way. Yeah. Can you just go, what's the deal with the pop thing?
Yeah. We just buy two bottles of Fanta.
Yeah.
Don't need to share.
That's true, actually, yeah. Unless there's a big bottle in the house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but she's not tapping that between sips.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, because you just have two glasses.
Yeah, I'd be
she this big 2 liter bottle of Fanta just tapping it. It's not working.
Yeah, because I guess very rare would you buy a 330 mil bottle of pop and share it. Would you really?
No.
They did go through, remember they went through that phase where it was like the in-between bottles?
Well,
instead of being 2 liter, it was like a 1.5.
That's to do with sugar tax, I think.
Was it?
Some of it is, yeah. Because you know, like cans of regular Coke went smaller.
Because
of like sugar tax.
Because I remember there was like, do you remember like those?
Well, the regular ones were 2 liters. And for a while, you couldn't get 2 liters in the UK.
Yeah.
And then they went to 1.5. Or even you can get one or 1.25.
Yeah.
Because a bottle of pop like in your hand, that's 500 mils. Yeah. A can's 330.
That's right, yeah.
500 mils is essentially a pint.
Yeah. But I remember those 1.5s, those are always the ones that are at Blockbuster.
Yeah.
For like the little KFC deals and stuff.
I thought your family feast that and your Viennetta.
Yeah. So we're saying it's definitely not minging.
Nah, it's just a little, just it's a little tick, a little quirk.
A little quirk.
You got to love it.
Yeah. Like, I would like to find out what the story is, but not in a way that
I think he's getting the can and he's like trying to recarbonate it.
Yeah.
He's got a soda stream. You know, it's like warfare. Just like a war of carbonation.
Put it back in, yeah. Yeah. I think it's definitely not minging, but it is slightly odd. There we go. That's another Shield Up for another week. If you would like to get in touch with you can, bit.ly/shieldup, capital S, capital U. See you next week.